Hey, it's Weezone. You're listening to Current Events, Politics, Presidents, and much more with Adam Lept and our official presidentologist, Dr. Ron Feinman, on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor every Monday morning, starting a few minutes after 10, right here on WWGH 107.1.
Adam Lept!
The best part of waking up, it's the doo-wop, doo-wop in all I do. The mountain goat aroma, always coming through. In your cup. Now I'm right in harmony with that doo-wop, doo-wop, diddy. Whoa, one more cup and it's a hoo-wop, shoo-wop for me. Oh, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Folgers in your cup. A microphone a few inches from my mouth. What does that mean? It means it's time, drum roll please, my friends, for a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. Of course, that would be Dr. Ron L. Feinman, official presidentologist and guru of current, past, and future events. Let's see if we properly plugged everything in as we've recovered from the debut of the Weasel Show. May the 4th be with you. Cinco de Mayo yesterday and just May 6th today, which is, my math is correct, 26 days prior to my birthday. So again, feel free to send any presents to the station. Always appreciated. Ronald, how are you on this fine Monday morning?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. It's nice weather here, as usual.
Yep, always a pleasure to have you at the microphones here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Of course, not surprisingly, Ron, since we chatted last time, we have added another hat thrower in the ring, or I guess we can call it, person who threw his hat in the ring as a hopeful Democratic presidential contender. Really don't know much about this guy. It's from a state that's been in the news quite a bit. It was a state that, quite a while back, relatively speaking, made marijuana legal, which John Denver up there in Musical Heaven, of course, sang Colorado Rocky Mountain High. That song obviously now has a whole new meaning, and I'm sure Mr. Denver is smiling. Also, their former governor is considered someone who might have aspirations for higher office, and that's the guy with the funny name, Mr. Hickenlooper. And if I'm not mistaken, their current governor has something in common with the current mayor of South Bend. Although the mayor of South Bend hopes to be sitting in the Oval Office, the current governor of Colorado, they all start with C-O, with C.
Jared Polis, yes,
right.
Jared Polis.
He, like Mr. Buttigieg, is married, but to a male, which is, I would say, rather cool, but his aspirations aren't quite the same as Mayor Pete's, but who knows? You know, maybe next time we talk, things will change. So let's turn our attention to, again, none of those gentlemen, but a senator from Colorado, Michael Bennett. And I have to be truthful to you, Ron. I'm not familiar with the gentleman, but I'm sure you, as the official presidentologist and purveyor of history and current events, know him like the back of your own hand. He, a few days ago, decided he wanted to be the 22nd Democratic presidential contender for the 2020 election. We have Montana Governor Steve Bullock, and again, Rocky Mountains must be the current part of the country, bringing us candidates in the late April, early May. So Michael Bennett as number 22. Ron, would I be correct in saying that he is on that list of candidates who has about as much of a chance of winning the Democratic nomination as Karen Pence has of winning a beauty contest? Would that be correct?
Oh, my gosh. I would say one of the problems was that he came in this late. I think coming in this late, and it is late, the way being number 22, I think if he had announced a few months ago, but he had prostate cancer and had to undergo surgery, and he's apparently now cancer-free, but I do think that is a bit of an issue because you never really know if it is free for the moment. I think that is a problem that he might face. And the thing is, he's mostly noted for the fact that he made a very denounced denunciatory speech against Ted Cruz a few months ago in the Senate. And anybody who denounces Ted Cruz is usually a hero, because everybody in the Senate pretty much hates Ted Cruz, even members of his own party. So because what happened is Cruz was speaking up about the government shutdown, and Bennett was denouncing him for having led the government shutdown back in 2013, and now seeming to think it's not a big deal about the government shutdown that occurred in January or February that had people not getting their paycheck for 5 weeks, people who work for the government. So he got some notice from that. But other than that, he was the chief of staff to Mayor Hickenlooper before he was governor. So he's actually running against his old boss, which I think is quite interesting. He also was head of the public school system in Denver, and then was appointed and then elected. After Ken Salazar resigned from the Senate to become Interior Secretary under Obama in 2009. So he's an interesting person, but. And the whole group of people, seven senators, I think he's not a heavyweight, and I don't think he's going anywhere any more than I think Hickenlooper is going anywhere.
So we would agree that the resume of Mr. Bennett and many of his stands are probably positives from both of us. Rather intelligent
centrist.
Gentleman.
He's a centrist.
Yeah, editor-in-chief of the Yale Law School Journal. And, you know, going to Yale Law School certainly requires an IQ, well in the triple figures, and also a bank account, probably over a million. So again, obviously an intelligent man with a good resume, and again a centrist Democrat. I mean a Biden type in belief, so he probably would find most of what he has to say appealing.
He could be vice presidential candidate, I guess. That's possible. Yeah.
When's the last time we had a president or vice president from the Rocky Mountain states? Before I try to rack my brain, I'm sure you know that, Ron, because
you've never had. That's the point.
That's a good question. When's the last time? Well, we've never had one. Now, keep in mind, back in our early history, the Rocky Mountain states were not states. Many of these states only recently became part of the United States. So we've never had Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, Utah. Of course, we have, what's his name, the former Massachusetts governor, who now hangs his hat in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
That would be what's his name? Mitt Romney, of course. I was thinking baseball because I'm thinking
the west of Mississippi, only Arizona with Barry Goldwater running in 64, and of course McCain in 08 were from Arizona, and only otherwise in California we had Nixon and Reagan. That's it.
Yeah, nobody I guess that is interesting. It's like, well,
nominee, you know?
It's not a dumb question after all. It's like, well, no, we've never had one. Now, I guess you can consider Arizona or even Texas Rocky Mountain, but I wouldn't call them a real Rocky Mountain state. It's just part of the state. What I'm thinking of are the less populous states. I mean, there, of course, these states are growing as many people do head west for beautiful scenery, decent cost of living, and other qualities that are appealing. But Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, never had a president from any of those areas, so it might be nice to have one, as I think not just the demographic diversity of the United States should reflect whom we elect to office, but I think the geographic. And I think we should have somebody from that area, but we haven't, and maybe we will.
I wanted to mention that on the Pacific Coast, we've had only California, as I've said. Washington State now has Jay Inslee, the governor of Washington State, and of course Hawaii has Tulsi Gabbard, the congresswoman. But otherwise, we've never had anybody be a nominee from Washington State or Oregon or Hawaii. Only the two in California and the two in Arizona are the only cases.
I mean, the closest really are
Arizona lost, California won.
I mean, a couple of recent people of note. Obama, born in Hawaii, but he's really from Chicago. And, of course...
Yes, and actually grew up in Kansas.
Right. And, you know, western Kansas, that's the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. But I really wouldn't count that. I'm talking about the pure Rocky Mountain states, including Idaho. Nice to, you know, I guess Butch Otter, one of the greatest political names, the governor of Idaho. He's kind of known for that interesting name. But in terms of presidential candidates... and people being elected to office, be nice to see one, but so far we've not had that that experience. And of course, Alaska, known as coldest state, hottest governor, we had the vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin, who was not successful. So we've kind of been in the far west part of the country. But even Washington State, I mean, the Seattle area is pretty big and it's growing, but a lot of technology companies, a lot of newsworthy items, but nobody who has sat in the Oval Office on Pennsylvania Avenue. So guess we'll see. But bottom line is, Ron, although both you and I would find Bennett to be appealing, and we wouldn't object to him being president or maybe vice president, as I jokingly said, there's a better chance that Karen Pence will win a beauty contest than that he would be president or vice president, but maybe in the future.
Yeah, I wanted to mention there are others who contended for the nomination from the West, like Frank Church of Idaho, tried in 1976, Senator Frank Church of Idaho. Scoop Jackson, Henry Scoop Jackson of Washington State, tried a couple of times, Senator Jackson. And we also had Bill Richardson, the governor of New Mexico, also Secretary of Energy, who also tried for the nomination a few times on the Democratic side. So there's been a few that have tried, but nothing has ever worked out as far as being a nominee.
Another interesting point you bring up is that you mentioned the other recent candidate who lost in a very close election recently passed away, late great John McCain, also from the Mountain Time Zone. He, like Mr. Bennett, was born abroad, but his father was in the service. In the case of Bennett, New Delhi, India, of course, John McCain, born in the Panama Canal Zone. Bennett's a really good age.
I wonder if that'll be made an issue, but apparently his father was working for the ambassador to India, so he was obviously, I'm assuming, born in the hospital on embassy grounds, so therefore I don't think it's an issue, but the fact that he was born in India could be made an issue if he was a serious candidate, a little like with Ted Cruz when he was brought up, and George Romney back in 1968. So I don't know. I assume it's not an issue, but his father was a major figure. He worked for Hubert Humphrey, Jimmy Carter, and Bill Clinton, and the grandfather worked for FDR, and the father was the head of National Public Radio and also was president of Wesleyan University. Almost his father sounded like he would have been a good candidate if he was still around and was younger.
Finish this story. Interestingly, Ron, this Bennett gentleman has a lot in common with me. Not going to mention his age, but it appears his age is actually identical to my age. In addition, I was also born abroad in Frankfurt, Deutschland, in West Germany at that time. Now it's just regular Germany.
Why didn't realize that?
My dad was in the service.
The embassy hospital or what?
The army hospital in Frankfurt, yeah. I told you that.
Okay, so I guess you could run for president, couldn't you?
Exactly. Not that I plan on it, but, I'm not quite that crazy. And again, we're not going to mention Bennett's age, but...
But you could, I'm just saying.
From your blog, it appears to be about the same age that I am, at least for the next 26 days. Interestingly, he obviously lived in Connecticut, where I lived, because I really couldn't stand Connecticut, but that's where I lived for a couple of years, and he went to Yale Law School.
Why did you like Connecticut, I'm wondering? What's wrong with Connecticut?
It's expensive. It's the people. People to be rude. It's dangerous. Connecticut cities, the largest cities, are barely over 100,000 people, but they're not safe. And speaking of, I'm sorry if I insult any Connecticut residents here, but again, I have lived there. And what I wanted to mention was that my mom is buried in the New Haven, Connecticut area. And New Haven is where Yale is. And so that's where Bennett went to law school. So it's some interesting parallels. Maybe he would pick me as the vice president because we would have a lot of things in common. I don't know. But
And I see he's about 5 months younger than you, born on November 28th. So he's a little younger than you. So you're his senior.
that would be amusing, wouldn't it? We've already discussed that I theoretically could be the age of Mayor Pete's father, which is kind of scary. But at least this gentleman, I would only be a playmate age and is 5 months older. So about basically a peer. But you know, let's hear for people born in that time as. They're obviously pretty awesome. I think Mr. Bennett, as you would agree, Ron, at this point isn't a serious contender, but maybe in the future, maybe in the next one or two elections, he might pop up.
And he could be the running mate at the Rocky Mountain West. It could be that he could be the vice presidential candidate for someone. It's possible.
And could also have a cabinet position. I mean, who knows?
Yes.
In your previous blog, you talk about the governor, Steve Bullock, of the Big Sky State, Montana.
He's supposed to announce it. You know, ends up Bennett jumped the gun on him, so he announced first. But Bullock's supposed to announce in mid-May, supposedly. Yeah. I hope he does, because I wrote about him.
Yes, Montana, the Big Sky State. Lots of open spaces, ranches, cowboys, poisonous snakes, buffalo. Just a gorgeous Rocky Mountain state, though it does get kind of cold there in the wintertime. Bullock
the
is...
The fourth largest area of any state. Only ones larger are Alaska, Texas, and California in land area. But it's got a very small population, only about 1 million.
Correct. And so Governor Steve Bullock, who's actually a year younger than the Colorado gentleman, Mr. Bennett, and yours truly. So, as Donald Trump would say, a vibrant young man, since they're still about a generation younger than Donald, and Donald says he's vibrant and young, so these guys must be extremely vibrant and quite young. Now, he's a Democrat, and as we've talked about, the Rocky Mountain states tend to be rather heavily Republican, which is somewhat ironic. And, of course, I also found it ironic that Mitt Romney, as a Republican, but not really a super conservative Republican, a moderate, more moderate Republican, was governor of a very Democratic state, Massachusetts. So, and, you know, Jerry Springer.
That's true in Massachusetts. Yeah. Charlie Baker is the Republican governor of Massachusetts, and Larry Hogan of Maryland, both blue states, but they're both moderate Republicans.
You know, and just one of my favorite analogies at that point is people think Cincinnati is so conservative. Well, two of their recent mayors were Jerry Springer, who isn't conservative, and Roxanne Qualls, who is very much to the left, and she's also a lesbian, just as a point of reference. So Cincinnati, people think it's
you can't prove anything about what's happened in
people
the past.
Think Cincinnati is conservative, and let's look at two of their mayors have been in my lifetime. So you really never know. The bottom line is, Ron, if one of these two Rocky Mountain people were to become president or vice presidential contenders, we might see more Democratic swinging more to the Democratic side in the Rocky Mountain part of the country. Now, that's not a lot of electoral votes, as these states don't have a lot of people, but it is good for looking at trends. As you've mentioned, Texas is traditionally Republican. Of course, the Bushes, and having come from there, that's been a part of it, but we're seeing it maybe swing to the other side, and the Castro twins are probably part of that also. So it depends who's from that state. I mean, Johnson was from Texas, so you never quite know where a state will lean. And we get to Ohio, it's just a swing state. You never really know what it's going to do. But despite the relatively small population of the Rocky Mountain area, we could find these two having, even if they don't become contenders, Ron, just the fact that they've thrown their hat in the ring, they could very well influence where the votes in that part of the country are trending in this election and future ones. So I see this as having an impact regardless of their chances of being elected.
I wanted to mention Montana, second term of Bullock, and before him, two terms of Democrat Brian Schweitzer, who thought of running earlier for president. He ended up not doing so. And also John Tester, their senator, has been reelected a Democrat. So it's strange because it's really more Republican, but they've had statewide office holders that are Democrats, governors and one senator. Yeah.
That's the same way I see Cincinnati. I mean, I don't think Cincinnati's that conservative. It's more the suburbs. They are quite conservative, especially the far northern ones and the far eastern ones. But I think they're two recent mayors. Now, granted, Cincinnati has changed its mayoral system. It used to have a weak mayor system. They now have a strong mayor system. So when Roxanne Qualls and Jerry Springer were mayor, they really weren't very powerful. And that's changed. But even in a symbolic office, their political leanings are very relevant. So you never quite know. And same thing again with Romney. It often depends how liberal, how conservative are these candidates. Many candidates are Republican and Democrat in name only, but we're kind of seeing both parties swinging to both extremes. Democrats becoming very left, many times socialist type leanings, and Republicans becoming very conservative. We've talked on previous shows, Ron, that Nixon almost seemed like a Democrat in some ways. He was a fiscal conservative, but Clinton was. Nixon was very pro-environment, started the EPA. And he was, I would say in a general sense, someone who looked after the needs of workers, of health care, things we would think of a moderate Democrat as doing, a Biden type, or even, and then even Carter. Carter's history in Georgia. Again, Southern Democrats do tend to lean conservative in some ways, but he wasn't your modern day type of Democrat either. So
that's correct.
What a party is in name isn't necessarily the way that a candidate will focus his or her issues on, and that's just all I guess all part of the fun. You talked about on your blog, Ron, from last Thursday, a topic we talk about, seems like with the election coming up almost every show, but it certainly has many, many points to ponder, that we ask, what are the qualifications? What is a good previous job to have prior to becoming president? Well, one of the most obvious choices is vice president, and that's what you talk about. We, of course, are familiar with George H.W. Bush, who was vice president under arguably the most, you know, arguably the most popular president in my lifetime, Mr. Reagan, and he won the election. Although he didn't win re-election, so maybe he wasn't quite that popular. And because we've talked about, he was a good man, but he just didn't have the charisma of Reagan. And so people, you know, including like us, who admired Reagan for his sense of humor and his dedication, maybe weren't overly thrilled with his stand on the issues. We saw Clinton as a middle-of-the-road, if not conservative, Democrat, who had good experience as a governor, was a great speaker, and that's why Clinton beat Bush and won re-election. So a vice president may carry you to your first term, but will it carry you to a second term? Of course, we saw Al Gore unsuccessfully run for president. Walter Mondale, as you know, one of my favorites in history, unsuccessfully run. And Gerald Ford, who, as we've talked about, was never officially and directly elected. He unsuccessfully ran, although it was a close election against the peanut president, Mr. Carter. Of course, we fast forward to 2020, and as we know, the hair sniffer himself, Mr. Biden, although he declared his candidacy just a few days ago, is now considered to be the front runner. And again, partially because he is so familiar. As I said, people like Mr. Bennett seem appealing. Mayor Pete may or may not be appealing. We may discuss why he may not be appealing later in the show. But Biden being so familiar, being in politics for over two generations, he suddenly is that front runner. And hair sniffing aside, he's a candidate without a lot of controversy. He's not as far to the left as Sanders and Harris and some of the other ones. And as a vice president under a recent and mostly popular president, a groundbreaking president, our first non-white president, Mr. Obama, obviously, Biden certainly would be a familiar name and one that I think many people would vote for. In terms of this qualification for office, Ron, we mentioned Mayor Pete as mayor, and mayor not of a small town, but not a major city by any means. How does that look in the experience spectrum versus all the experience that Mr. Biden has? Again, running against a president who had no elected political experience. Is that something which is important? Does Biden have a leg up on winning the election?
Elections are not always won by the most experienced person. That's the problem. And often they're not even the nominee. Like in 2008, let's face it, Obama had been only in the Senate a few years and in the state Senate of Illinois, and he overcame Hillary, who had a lot more background, and Joe Biden and Bill Richardson and others. And so many of the cases, like Abraham Lincoln, had very little actual government experience. He came after Buchanan and before Andrew Johnson. So it doesn't always work out that having a lot of experience helps you. And already the progressive wing of the Democratic Party is going after Biden, ripping apart different things he has said and done, because he has a long record, and they're going after him. I see it on Facebook and elsewhere. And certainly they're correct. There are blunders and mistakes he made, but everybody makes mistakes. Every one of the candidates has it, but he has a longer list to go through. So I think it's going to be quite a thing to see if he can survive all the way to the nomination and to the election. And I don't know. I'm hoping he can, but I don't know, because really there is a real challenge out there from the left that he is simply too much like a Republican, they're saying, that he's too willing to cross the aisle and all that. So I don't know, but definitely his experience is a plus and a minus.
Well, compared to Harris and Sanders, I would say he is a Republican. As we talked about, the parties have moved far in each direction. We don't have these presidents who could really be either party. Again, we talk about Nixon and Carter, even Ford possibly. It's just hard to say how their party compares with the modern day Democrats and Republicans. And as an independent, you know, I kind of average out as being middle of the road. Mayor Pete's kind of mysterious about his beliefs, but he's let out a few teasers of late. Again, we may talk about that. We know Harris is far left. We know Sanders is far left. Warren, although traditionally far left, I just feel with her intelligence and experience, she would moderate quite a bit if she were in office. And that's the same thing we saw with Governor John Kasich. He moved two or three steps I would say, to just about left of center when he was a governor, and a very good recent governor of Ohio, especially compare him to the current governor, who was a total disaster. Not that I wasn't expecting anything.
Oh, my God, is he bad.
Anything
and
different.
I must say
but,
that some Republicans telling Kasich, don't bother running against Trump. You're not going to stop him. I don't know if he's going to enter the race. He's making money at CNN now. He may just decide to and comment and run. But I wish mean, he would run, you know.
As I've talked about, my political leanings tend to be what they call the liberal Republicans. John Anderson being a good example of someone whose beliefs are pretty close to mine. And I wouldn't mind seeing a president of that ilk, but I'm not sure that's going to happen as the parties are just moving and being so divergent. I would say, Ron, as you probably would agree, if Biden were to win the election, we might see the parties start to moderate again. Democrats not be the far left socialist leaning group that they seem to be now, going back to the more Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton type Democrats, and that could also push the Republicans closer to the center also, being more like Nixon.
I would say possible, but also Carter was pushed by the liberals at that time, and that's why he lost 1980 re-election. Ted Kennedy opposed him, Jerry Brown opposed him, so in a way, his own party split around Carter and made it harder for him. That could happen with Biden, but then of course in 4 years, Biden would be 82, so maybe he wouldn't even run in the first place. That's another issue, but I'm not sure that he would take away the left side of the Democratic Party.
It's hard to say. You know, during this show, we invite people to exercise their brain cells, stimulate discussion, and we put out all kinds of possibilities. And if you don't already know that, this is Adam Lepp, the computer guy, but also the political and current events discussion person, speaking with our official presidentologist, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, from his domicile in Boca Raton in the Sunshine State of Florida, discussing all kinds of tidbits about the upcoming presidential election. The candidate du jour, and we talked about Mr. Bennett from Colorado, Joe Biden, parties moving to the left, moving to the right, just more happenings, more people that are going to be on the ballot. And 22 Democrats, it's been comical for quite a while, but it's starting to get just a teeny tiny bit out of hand.
Yes, and I must say New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is supposedly ready to jump in. I don't think that's a positive thing. Like, I really don't think he has a chance in the world. And I think in some ways he's the liberal Rudy Giuliani. I mean, he's a little wacky like Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor. They both go off the deep end. I don't think it'd be... I'm reading that de Blasio, I'll probably write about him this week, is going to announce making another candidate, and we really don't need any more. We have enough.
Ron, don't you think you need to be a little wacky to be mayor of New York City? I think that's kind of a job requirement.
Well, I don't know. Do you think that Bloomberg was wacky? Maybe he was.
He was the soda pop guy.
I don't think he was wacky otherwise. I think he was actually a fairly good mayor when you look back at 12 years. Well, I think he was better than Giuliani. And I think
Giuliani was a great mayor. He's just gotten a little nutty.
Well, he's gone nuts.
He's a lot like Ben Carson. Ben Carson was a brilliant doctor, but the Ben Carson of today and the Ben Carson of 30 years ago, hardly the same person. And that sometimes does happen. I mean, Donald Trump has changed, Ron. He used to be a Democrat.
Yes.
And we know the guy says what's on his mind. I mean, he was the star of a reality show, for goodness sakes. I mean, we know he's colorful.
Yeah, I wonder if all the cases, Carson, Trump, and Giuliani, is the aging process. I wonder if that's the issue. And that could be a problem for Biden or for Sanders, about even though they might not seem wacky in the same way as these people, maybe you would say Sanders does, are they in danger of being a problem because of their aging? You don't know. All these people in their older age are really coming across as weird.
Yeah, and I guess you look at Reagan, and again, we know the guy was classy. We may not agree with many of his standpoints. We certainly agree with his sense of humor, his presence, his love for his country, intelligence, and his experience. Governor, president of the Screen Actors Guild, many, many things about him that made it qualified. No secret that certainly during the last couple years of his presidency, he had the beginning stages of Alzheimer's, and I think he was classy enough to kind of step back a little bit and understand that his presidency was a lame duck and his ability to lead wasn't what it was during the beginning of his election. Many times his wife kind of stepping in, as she was a pretty good speaker. And that was, I think you'd agree, Ron, that was a pretty classy move. And maybe we should see the same thing from other politicians. I don't know. but it just kind of shows.
Yes, I want to put it here, by the way, about a senator who was one of the really good, in quotes, in my mind, Republicans who died this week, Richard Lugar of Indiana, who could have been the running mate of H.W. Bush instead of the other Indiana senator, Dan Quayle. And I remember in 88 when Dan Quayle was picked, even before he became vice president, I said, why in the world, I said to myself, are you picking Quayle? He's such a mediocrity in the Senate. You should pick Lugar. And Lugar was really a star, and he just passed away at age 87. And, you know, I did write about him this week on April 29th, and he really was a rare, decent Republican, true statesman who had real principles, courage, and bipartisanship.
Yeah, best thing about Quayle, he was young, good-looking, had a nice family, but he didn't really make much of an impression. I mean, granted, he was more intelligent than he was given credit for. You know, we may make fun of the potato spelling and some of the goofy things that he did, but he isn't stupid. And maybe it was just a good
contrast. Lugar was brilliant, as you see from my entry there, you know, I wrote about him.
A good contrast.
I always liked him. You know, I always thought he was very admirable.
Yeah, a good contrast to George W. Bush, with a lot of experience in many different areas, and somebody with a natural presidential nature. And I mean, it was a formula that worked. They won the election. But on the other hand, Ron and I have talked about some poor vice president choices. Even Hillary picking Tim Kaine, that would have been better choices. Maybe a biased opinion, but Sherrod Brown, and I think he would have said yes if asked, he would have been a better choice.
But Tim Kaine is not Dan Quayle or Spiro Agnew or Sarah Palin. Not that bad, just not the best choice.
Yeah. And Sarah Palin, one of the worst choices in history. She had good charisma, and also, although she was goofy, she was more intelligent than given credit for. And I like the idea of a female being as a president or vice president. Just that female kind of questionable. And that also, he also could have made a better choice. John Kasich, possibly. I mean, if asked, who knows? But hindsight is 20/20, Ron, and we shall see. Certainly, the psychology behind a president picking a vice president will be something that people will be debating until for a very, very long time. And as you and I talk about it pretty much every show, but I think we would agree that this election, Ron, especially if it's Biden or, God forbid, Sanders as the nominee, that he should pick a good choice, make a good choice for the vice president.
Young, very young, probably the 40s or 50s, not beyond that, yes.
And it's always important, but I think the candidates have learned. And again, looking at Kaine, Kaine and McCain, I guess that's kind of interesting. But Kaine and McCain.
K-A-I-N-E, correct. And M-C-C-I-N, yeah.
Right. And John McCain's choice of the interesting and somewhat charismatic and very good-looking Sarah Palin, but her qualification to be vice president, that's a different matter. Take a look at those and learn a lesson and see what the choices might be. And again, Dan Quayle, maybe we don't give him enough credit. And I think he's a case where...
Well, he wasn't Richard Lugar, as I've said. If you look at that entry, all the good stuff Lugar did, including the fact he was Richard Nixon's favorite mayor as Indianapolis mayor.
We do think of these recent vice presidents as being powerful. Dick Cheney, as we've talked about, Hillary was really Bill Clinton's vice president, but it was officially Al Gore, and he had an impact. Obviously, Biden, but again, Dan Quayle, I couldn't even tell you what he did as vice president, other than spell potato wrong. I don't think he did anything but collect his paycheck. But
even just the
person being there as an advisor, because things are obviously done behind the scenes. Although I'd also say,
you know, if he had had Lugar as vice president, I think he might have beaten Clinton. I think his having Quayle in 92 was a weakness. And I think with Lugar, who was a real qualified person in foreign policy like Bush Senior was, I think he might have been able to beat him. I think having Quayle was a real negative in 1992.
I mean, bottom line is hindsight is 20/20 with Lugar and George W. Bush recently having passed. They're in heaven right now, and I think that they're already laughing at what's going on with the candidates. And when the election,
well, Lugar was a critic of Trump in 2017 from retirement. It's the exact opposite. You know?
Yeah, and the election coming up, they will certainly find themselves entertained, as of course all of us will be. We mentioned Dr. Feynman is the author of a blog that he has put out for over 10 years, theprogressiveprofessor.com. We encourage you to read it, bookmark it. You might learn something. He wrote yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, Donald Trump's greatest nightmare, Joe Biden, who can take the Midwest and Pennsylvania away from him in 2020. As I've talked about, Ron, when I was watching the election returns, I knew the minute that Trump won Pennsylvania and Michigan, and won, I thought he would win Ohio. I didn't think he'd win it resoundingly like he did. I knew once that happened that the election was over. And you're saying that Joe Biden could change that, and winning Ohio and our two neighbors, Michigan and Pennsylvania, that certainly could put him behind the chair at the Oval Office. Now, Joe Biden is known as someone less aristocratic than other candidates and other presidents. He comes from a beautiful city, Scranton, Pennsylvania, from a middle-class background. He was known as Amtrak Joe, taking the train from Delaware to Washington, D.C. He is a bit of a regular guy, but he has empathy. He cares about people. He's not extreme in his beliefs. He's a moderate, if not somewhat conservative, Democrat, certainly compared to, as we mentioned, the more left-leaning candidates, Harris and Sanders, are the two of several that might come to mind. And he's just well-known. And as I've said, I mean, I don't care if he sniffs people's hair. He can sniff my hair. He can sniff all the hair he wants. That doesn't bother me one bit. It's just kind of funny. Especially, I just think about Cory Booker not having any hair. That kind of came to mind, too. But I think you'd agree, Ron, the reason why people talk about that is Joe Biden is just so non-offensive. I mean, Donald Trump, even his fans know he's a bit of an offensive character, but that's part of what makes him lovable, I guess, and not to mention Bill Clinton. It's a family show. We're not going to talk about Bill Clinton's indiscretions, but the bottom line is Joe Biden just isn't an offensive person, and they find one thing which will make you giggle, as you and I giggle about, but really isn't a big deal as far as I'm concerned, and that's the only cross the guy has to bear. So that regular guy aspect of him and not being very wealthy compared to others, that does make him appealing, as you kind of like your president to be one of us. And Obama had a bit of that appeal, as I think that helped. And again, Biden, obviously, as a rather popular vice president under Obama for 8 years, probably learned a few things, and that is to his advantage. So,
yes, absolutely. I wanted to point out, by the way, you mentioned Cory Booker. If Cory Booker was elected, he'd be the first bald president since Eisenhower, although Ford had lost some hair, but he had hair also. But he would be the first since Eisenhower to be, you know, have no hair.
Yeah. Well, I would think that the chance of Cory Booker becoming president is the same. We talked about Karen Pence earlier, is the same as Mike Pence being the Grand Marshal of the Indiana Gay Pride Parade. And that probably isn't.
Oh, my gosh.
That probably isn't a very good chance. Or Pete Buttigieg being the new spokesman for Chick-fil-A. That's even better.
So. I was going to say, but Buttigieg has been having boos and jeers at some of his rallies by people who are against him because he's gay, and he's dealt with it very well, I think. I'm very proud of him.
Well, someone whose intelligence will certainly allow him to say what is necessary, and he can always just swear in a different language, since he knows so many, even sign language. But we'll close out the show. We inferred this earlier. You'd posted, Ron, that Pete Buttigieg said that maybe it's not a good idea to require all kids to be vaccinated. And you said, no, Pete, that's wrong. People should be vaccinated.
That's what I feel, yep.
And I agree with you. But then I said something which may cause us to be at each other's throats, that I said Pete Buttigieg kind of suckers us in with his intelligence and moderate beliefs, but then he kind of goes off the deep end a bit and sounds like one of those wacko liberals. And that's kind of how I feel. As I've mentioned, there are things candidates say or believe that will cause me to disqualify them as ever forever getting a vote from me. And Harris and her inappropriate and, out of lack of a better term, stupid comments about ICE. That would cause me never to vote for these people. And again, she's too liberal for me anyway. Plus, I think she throws people a line, just like her colleague there, Mr. Sanders. But I've pretty much established that opinion in previous shows. I don't want to sound like a broken record. But with Buttigieg, you know, his beliefs, Ron, are sometimes a bit mysterious. And I wouldn't call his talk about vaccinations a disqualifier, but you and I would agree we're not overly happy about it. And is he maybe saying
no,
that
not.
To appease the people that might vote for him, that he would have a similar belief? Or do you think maybe he needs to be more informed about it? Is it a big issue with you? Would you still consider him to be an attractive candidate, even though you and I both disagree very strongly about that?
Well, I don't give up on him, but also I've not given up on Harris. I know you have, because I don't think one issue, one statement alone, when we have a president who flubs every day so many times, I don't think one issue alone has to be more. And I just think in the case of Buttigieg, no, I do not think it eliminates him. And he may modify it as time goes by. And I think that's also true for Harris. She should definitely be asked about that statement about ICE and see what happens. I would assume somebody will bring it up at one of these debates, and then maybe she can, you know, somehow recover. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm
curious to see how she reacts to it. It should be asked.
I agree. I wish during those town halls people would bring it up. That's the first thing I would ask her. But I would expect in the debates,
it should definitely, with the moderators, be brought up. Although probably have a lot of people in the audience, but still, if it should come up. It needs to be brought up and debated, at least that she makes a statement and maybe backs off a bit or maybe reasserts it, but at least make it clear, because anybody can make a statement, and sometimes later you might have second thoughts, but she might not want to bring it up unless it's brought up.
I would entertain the idea of an apology, but her other beliefs, and she just seems like she throws people a line, just like Sanders. And she's younger.
I'm not ready to judge that yet on her, but on Sanders, I would agree. Yeah. I'm not giving up on anybody at this point except Sanders. Although I will point out, I know you don't agree, if he's the nominee, I'm not going to vote for Trump. So I'll vote for him, but I don't want him. No, I definitely would prefer someone else.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that we have candidates whom we at least give a B+ to, as it seems like every election all we're doing is picking the lesser of evils, and to me that's not a very American thing to do, but unfortunately that's kind of what it comes down to. But that's how the cookie crumbles, as my dad used to say. Well, thank you very much, Ron. Once again, our time flies. We covered about 10% of what we wanted to cover, but I think the idea of VPs having a leg up as presidential contenders, Rocky Mountain candidates, stands on issues, what might disqualify somebody from voting for somebody, and poor choices for vice presidents. That and more were on the docket for today. And I'm sure when we talk next week, Ron, there will be more presidential candidates who've thrown their hat in the ring and more points.
Well, I hope de Blasio doesn't, but it looks like the mayor of New York is going to. But I really do not think he should be running. I mean, he has a right, but my God, we have enough candidates already. We don't need any more. If he didn't announce by now, you should just not be announcing. It's my view. We have plenty of time up to now to do so.
More points to ponder. And once again, thank you for listening to The Talking Place.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Ron. Have a great rest of your day. WWGH Radio, Adam Lepp here. Hey, send me an email on our collusion-free private email server. Did you know we had that, Ron? Not only a private email server, but one that is free of collusion from countries of all kinds. We don't delete any emails, so please send me one, adam@wwgh1071.com.